This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey, everybody, Carm Capriotto, Remarkable Results Radio, our 10th year. Can you imagine? There's a lot of cool stuff coming up this year, so hang in there to see some stuff that we have planned. I got a great show for you today. You got to listen to this intently and understand where we're going. We're calling it Check the Part, and consider that every part that you buy, you have something to do with its legacy. If it successfully gets put on the car, or if it goes back to the supplier, we got a lot of great things to tell you. But first, great word from our sponsors.
Hey, let's face it, your shop management system is the most critical tool in your shop. And NapaTrax will move your shop into the SMS fast lane with on-site training, 6 days a week support, and local representation. Find NapaTrax on the web at NapaTrax.com.
Hey, how well does your team know their stuff? Test their automotive skills with the Today's Class Basic, Advanced, or Service Advisor quizzes. It's a quick, effective way to spot gaps and grow stronger teams. Take the quizzes now at todaysclass.com/TC quiz. Hey, I'd like you to meet my great panel. I have Ryan Koyman, Director of Training for Standard Motor Products. Let me see, Blue Streak, Eklund, BWD, Belden, Four Seasons, Hayden, Nissens.
You got most of them.
Almost most of them.
I can't think of any other ones there. So you got the important ones. Exactly.
I ran out of fingers, Ryan. Thank you so much for being here. John Carney, President, FDP Brakes. Who's FDP Brakes? Well, they probably are on your vehicle or on your shelf right now. John, 50 years of brake technology and friction science, FDP is an industry innovator and a full-line supplier of disc pads and brake shoes, probably in a box near you.
Correct. We've been doing it for a long time. We don't need any more practice manufacturing brakes at this point. But I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
Thanks for being here, John. Michael Campana. Campana, did I say that right, Michael?
Correct.
From Dorman, Senior Manager of Quality Engineering. That's a heavy job, bud.
Take it with pride.
You should. Dorman Products, OE Fix, Dorman Training, all those great things that are going on at Dorman. Look, we're here to talk about parts, warranties, returns, and that the manufacturers that get these parts back, you know, they test these things and they've got some statistics that just may blow your mind and realize what goes on with these alleged warranties. But I have to tell you, Ryan, something in the back of my mind says, well, we have this Amazon mentality on returns. Okay. And it says, just send it back. Send it back. We didn't need it. It's not right. And or that there's some fraud that goes on in our industry. And I've got some stats on it. It's huge. Maybe you'll cover it a little later. But checkthepart.com. How did this group come together, Ryan?
A lot of misfortune. No, on our parts here. No, I think the idea was originally birthed out of the Automotive Sales Council and a lot of us guys' bosses, and John's actually on the council himself, actually president, I believe, currently, but some discussions about understanding how bad the issue is. Let's put some people together. Our company started really talking about how big of an issue it is. And so we assembled this team, you know, and while we're competitors on the street, we all share this common value here. It's not collusion in any way. We're not picking on the retailers or the end customers here. We're actually trying to save them money. And once we started digging into this and everybody started sharing a little bit of their stories, we've all got the same stories. We all see the same issues here. And we all have astronomical numbers of parts coming back. It's been a group effort. How do we work together to not become the sales prevention department? That's really easy to do, right? Put a lot of rules in place and regulations. But just, we decided to start with the simple stuff. And that's where the check the part concept came back. Who's the first person that touches that return? Is it the delivery driver? Is it the counter person? Whatever. If we can stop it as close to the end user as possible before it gets all the way back to our facilities, it's much easier to control at that point.
John, so you're leading this group of the industry?
I certainly wouldn't say I'm leading it, but I am on the sales council, currently treasurer of the Automotive Sales Council. But a lot of this derived too from, you know, we've just seen incredible inflation as a country, as an industry, really, you know, certainly the last 5 years. And You know, we're not going to talk about tariffs today. But what we are seeing is, you know, the cost of repairs have skyrocketed. The costs of owning vehicles have skyrocketed. And warranty is a big, an illegitimate warranty is a big cost, you know, we all have to bear. If we can remove that cost, we can make replacement more affordable. I think you can increase profitability, you know, at shops that have to sell the end customer. And really, it was, we all kind of had our own issues with warranty. When we started to really talk to others in the industry, we all had the same issue. So we really wanted to identify, you know, what are the top five reasons things are coming back? What are the top five illegitimate reasons things are coming back? Create a group to address it, create a group to bring awareness to it with the ultimate goal of changing that, as you said, Amazon mentality that is prevalent in really in all industries really at this point, and really help us reduce these warranties to reduce costs. And there's a lot of other benefits. It's going to help increase the profitability for the shop. It's going to increase customer satisfaction, and it's really going to strengthen the brands, whether it's our brand or the shop's brand. You know, the more that they can be efficient, turn a car, the less returns they have are going to, you know, increase their brand with their customer. And that's really the end goal that we're trying to accomplish.
Karim, we actually did a trial. Everything that Ryan and John said was supported by a trial that was completed about 5 years ago. If I could put a little bit of the quality spin on it, in compliance to process, we had the opportunity of partnering with one of the retailers. And what we did was we created mouse pads for a select group of 350 stores. And on those mouse pads were essentially five simple steps for processing a return from a customer. And a couple of those steps included opening the box, review the part. And after letting that run, two mouse pads, one in the front, one in the back, letting that run for like 9 months, that retailer reported that the overall store return rate went down 5%. It was agnostic to the manufacturer. It was across the board. And it was from that that said, wow, okay, compliance to simply opening the box had a measurable impact on these 350 stores. Let's put some more formality to it. Let's create a theme here. And that's where Check the Part. Creating a simple logo with some very simple steps. Open the box, inspect the part, and validate the return. That's how it started.
It's amazing how that stuff works. Quick thought. A lot of times, Karim has these rambling thoughts and I share them maybe out of sequence, but I I got to get it out so I don't forget it. I interviewed Frank Woodson from Gates maybe a couple of years ago, and he says, I have a great way to stop defective water pumps from coming back up through the system. Flush the system before you put on the new water pump. Duh. It was one of those duhs, and he explained why and how, and anybody who's worth their salt and been in this industry a while could probably realize that some of the contaminants in the fluids are going to make that seal go bad after X amount of months. Those are just, if you will, in my mind, just logical things. But going back to this whole thing about the box and the awareness campaign that you did, is there any value in having a scan QR code? This is potential issues, QR code, boom, and here it comes up on the phone and it's telling this specialist, this technician in the bay who's going to open and touch that part that, you know, and do something with it. These are known causes that you should be concerned about in installation and or in further diagnostic review. You guys doing that?
Not yet. It's part of the discussion of where we can go with this stuff. And if you'd like to be our talking head, you know, can we get an AI Karim to come in and, you know, they scan it and review and, you know, this might be a whole other opportunity here.
I got it. Hey, it's Karim. Listen to me right now. Sit down. Look at here. Put your earbuds in. Let's do this thing.
Exactly.
I think, Karim, too, that all of, you know, there's individual manufacturers that will put, sometimes they'll put a card in the box or a card on the part. Hey, check this before you install. I know in it, with some of our customers, we have a chart that shows if there's a brake pad with uneven wear. Hey, that may be a caliper issue. You know, so I think there's certainly a uniqueness to everyone's product line. And what we're really, I think, trying to do is, you know, change the entire culture, you know, and I think that there's technology really when you talk about the QR code, bringing more technology into it, specific to a certain part. Be honest with you, get down specific to a certain application. You know, if it's an application specific part, that QR code, can we bring up some type of information of problem areas of that particular vehicle or that particular part? I think everyone is trying to do as much as they can, but overall, we're starting with a culture, you know, a culture of checking the part, potentially diagnosing an other issue that caused that part to fail, accountability, reporting. We want to know, as manufacturers, we want to know why something was returned. Maybe there is a OE design issue out there. You know, for us in the aftermarket, you know, we take and we look at an OE part. We don't have design responsibilities, as we call it, right? We take that part. How big is it? How thick is it? Does, you know, form, fit, function? And then we design a part that is good as or tries to match or as good or better than the OE as possible. However, that OE design often can have a failure issue. And we basically, you know, made an aftermarket part for that. That OE was not designed correctly. And when we get good feedback, we can do an OE improvement or an OE fix. The problem is that we do analyze returns. And if you have a product line, for example, the 0.5% return, but one part or an application is 2.5%, right? Let's just call that, that's 5 times. Okay, hey, that's a red flashing light, right? There's an issue there. Okay, let's go back, see why it's failing. Maybe we can make it thicker, beef it up, you know, change something on it. The problem is when warranty rates are 8%, well, then that 2.5 now is 10.5. It doesn't have that red flashing light. It doesn't pull itself out as a potential issue. One of the things that we're trying to do is when you reduce returns, you really get to the bottom of the data and really allows you to focus on anything that may be an OE design flaw. And if you can correct it, goes back to what I said, it's going to increase profitability for manufacturers and shops. It's going to increase customer satisfaction. The shop is now putting a better part, a better fix on the customer's vehicle. And it's going to increase the brand strength of the brand that's, you know, whether it's ours or the shop's brand selling to the end customer. So really for us, you know, when we can reduce those warranties, it gives us visibility into those real problem applications that are out there. And that's really the real stuff. And that's really one of our goals here as well.
Yeah. So Karma, as you look at warranties, it's really a three-legged stool. As John was talking about, yeah, there's ways that we can improve the product. Maybe there was a problem with it originally, but so much of it gets buried in the noise here. And so one of the other kind of legs of this warranty stool is going to be fraudulent returns, right? Somebody just puts it on. We all see the stories, especially in the case of brakes, for example, John's category, where a customer will return the OE brakes that they took off the vehicle. It's got 60,000 miles on it. And they'll put it back in the box and return it back to the store, and they will get credit. We've seen water bottles, bricks, tennis shoes, stuff like that come back in warranty boxes on our parts, which is flat out fraud. All somebody had to do is open up the box and they would have found this. But then the third leg is misdiagnosis or installation error with that. And so that's kind of back to what you were suggesting earlier. You know, standard, we look at stuff like that, or in our Four Seasons or NAPA temp brands. Where are we seeing these numbers here? Where do we see the stuff coming back that somebody installed improperly or could have done it different? And so then we will shoot a video and we'll tie it to the UPC code on the box if somebody scans that they find it, or put it on our YouTube channels. So that's why you kind of have the three of us here together. You've got the president of a company, the quality engineering, and a training guy. How do we all fit together? We're trying to address all three of these things as a team.
Hey, let's face it. Your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. NAPA Trax has made selecting the right shop management system easy by offering the industry's best, most comprehensive SMS. Now, it all starts when a local representative meets with you to learn about your business and how you need to run it. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. And having local representation is a huge plus. Customizing tracks to your business, whether you're a one-person shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company, a representative consults with you to help optimize your shop's workflow, efficiency, and profitability. Trax always has the flexibility to do business how you need to do it, which means it can also grow as your business grows. And unlike the other guys, we'll be there for you after installation with the best training and support in the business. Yes, a learning management system tailored to each role in your company. Simply put, Trax was designed and built for shop owners just like you. Visit us on the web at NapaTrax, that's NapaTrax.com. Hey, want to test your team's knowledge? Well, today's class quizzes show how much your techs and advisors really know, so you can train smarter and build a stronger, more efficient team. Whether it's the basic quiz, perfect for all techs to test their foundational knowledge, the advanced quiz, built for experienced technicians ready to dive into complex topics, or the service advisor quiz, focused on communication and customer service. Now, each one gives your team a clearer view of what they know and where they can grow. Take the quizzes now at todaysclass.com/TC quiz. Out of the goodness of my heart, I'm going to give this to the Check the Part committee. Okay? So the QR code on this particular individual part, because if you print a label, stick it to the box, you could print a QR code for that specific part number, right? Now, you've come to learn that there are installation issues, there are diagnostic issues with this particular part. So the campaign of the QR code, you ready for this? Here it is. You can't know everything campaign. You can't know everything. And so I am a specialist working in the bays, and I see that. I'll scan the QR code. Help me. Just like anything in my network, just like service information that I'm going to look up today, if you don't read the freaking manual, which is what everybody's talking about today, then you can't complete a job to the level and the degree that the OE needs you or wants you to do, or that you may have forgot that you did this one particular job a year ago.
We attempted that with some high dollar like diesel components. You'd open up the injector, and the first thing you would see right there is a slip of paper covering the parts. You had to touch it. It said, call before you install. Kind of a catchy little piece with a 1-800 number. And we found some IT man that tech line. And it was usually the people, the specialists, the technician that already knew how to do it very well. He's like, well, I'm just following instructions. Those are the people that do it. The people that don't do it are the ones that just throw it out of the way. Yeah, we've installed a fuel test strip in there, you know, because with diesel, a lot of it was contamination of the fuel, just like you were saying Frank was seeing with the water pumps there. So we're like, well, we'll make the investment. We'll put the test strip in there to encourage them to do the job properly. But you'd be blown away. I'd say 90% of the stuff we get back, that kit is now shoved on the bottom of the box and nobody's opened it up. Nobody's done anything with it.
I think with the QR code and some of the technology that you're talking about, I think that the industry is certainly ripe for that. You know, with our OE background, you know, the QR codes, we had putting QR codes on Ford parts 20 some years ago. We tried QR codes in the, you know, 2008 and up to 2018. And people just, if you remember, you had to download an app on your phone to read a QR code. You know, unfortunately, it took COVID and quite frankly, menus, right? Going to restaurants and scanning menus that people are familiar with the QR code. So I think with something like that, fundamentally using technology is what we're talking about. The adaptation of QR codes, you know, the younger service professionals that are in these shops are more, you know, grew up with cell phones, grew up with QR codes. You grew up with going to YouTube University, as we call it. As you mentioned, with the manuals, most of these vehicles aren't coming with, you know, you have to go online to get the manual. I think that that all plays for itself. I think that that is probably step 4 or 5 in what we're trying to do here. But I think it's a great idea. It's something that we are all talking about. And I think that, as Ryan said, there's so much low-hanging fruit in somebody sending something back and not telling the shop or the distributor that it was, or the store, that it's a core. You know, something coming back, they order two parts because they didn't exactly know what they needed. They use the one, they send it back. It's a new part in the box, but somebody misdiagnoses it because they didn't open it up, and it gets that red defect sticker on it. There's so much low-hanging fruit. I think once we can take care of the low-hanging fruit, then the data becomes clear. I keep going back to that data. Then you can really focus in on that technology, specific jobs, specific applications that are really going to help the installer not install the part incorrectly, which then comes back in the form of a warranty.
Carm, this is where we could really use some of your ideas right there, is how do we thwart this? You know, think about the times where a person buys a component made by a manufacturer ABC. 6 months later, it goes bad. So then they order a part from manufacturer XYZ. Well, ABC's box is now long gone. So where do they put the part? Well, they put it in XYZ's box and send it back. And so even though XYZ didn't build the defective component, it's their box, right? And so what does the store do? My theory is that they're going to send it back to XYZ. As we look at some of our categories, I've got a team that's gone through distribution centers. We've seen as much as 2/3 of the stuff, not our product in the box, came from a different manufacturer. You know, so thinking back to your days in the auto parts industry, I mean, how do we thwart that, or how do we change that at all?
If you want me to stop and give you the entire, here's what we need to do, and we need to do it now story, this is not my podcast, but you've just gave me an idea. How could we train upstream and downstream people, you know, open every box, issue the credit, you know, actually, how about this? Verify you bought it from me. Anybody who's intelligent and wanting to give a credit, let's talk about the distribution area here. Let's talk about an auto parts store. If I'm going to give a credit to an individual, did they buy it from me to start with? And how long ago was it? And what's the warranty on the part? I guess what I'm saying is, let's go back to the Amazon, just take it back. And if not, oh, there's five other places I could go that will value my business. But when you're looking at $870 million, I think that was a stat that I looked up, the cost of fraudulent warranty claims cost auto parts stores every year, $870 million. It's close to a billion. How about that? And 22.6% of all auto parts sold are returned. The aftermarket has a higher return rate than any other industry. And it's money. It's inefficient. It's disappointment. It's everything. Anyway, when the episode is done, I'll tell you what my ideas are later, but you guys are here for a reason, and it's your show.
Is there a royalty involved in this? Is there
2% cut? That's all he asks.
Absolutely not, John. Let me see. Yeah, the 870.
Yeah, so Carm, like that 22%, right? Like number one of cross categories. The next closest is the industry, is the apparel industry, which is 11%. That's number two. So it's twice as high as the number as the second closest industry.
I would have never guessed.
Mm-hmm. Part of the conversation we just had is to the return type. One of the biggest components that we have as invalid warranty returns is used OEM parts. And it's particularly high on remanufactured type parts for all the manufacturers in the warranty council. And that's where there's a return where it's stated it's a warranty return. But if that core transaction was never actually completed in time, it should have been processed as a core return. That's one of the biggest sources of invalid warranty return. We open the box. We have parts where 50% is actually the used OEM part, not the part that we sold.
That just makes you knock yourself upside the head and say, why? Why do we have to live like this? Why do we have to do business like this? Maybe it's my commonsensical, logical brain that says this isn't right.
Carm, yeah. You talked about the idea of the inefficiency and the cost, and that is, I always come full circle back to that. When you talk about the parts having to go back through the, as I think Ryan mentioned, you know, our industry has come a long way in distribution from a manufacturer to the end customer. Our reverse distribution is not as streamlined. Okay. Right. I can tell you that. It is very, very costly. There's cost on the manufacturer side to have people dedicated to issuing these credits, quality people going through these boxes, traveling to distribution centers. What is the issue? Just the freight and logistical costs of the return is incredible. Simply having people to answer something went wrong, or where's my credit, or this part, I got a used part in the box. A shop ordered a part and it was a used part in a box. The cost is incredible. And I believe that when you look at the general consumer out there, they're hurting. You know, there's a lot of people hanging on by their fingernails and money's tight. I see inflation increasing and we need to make sure that we can repair these vehicles inexpensively and efficiently to keep people on the road and keep people coming back to our industry. There is an inflection point in cost where people will not have three cars in the driveway. They're going to have two when they're going to, you know, carpool and not drive themselves. And I think that we have to be, you know, very aware of that. And we have to look everywhere. How can we reduce cost? This warranty piece of it is by far the lowest hanging fruit and maybe the largest inefficient cost driver in the entire system, in our opinion.
Well, how many different compressors do you have to put on the car in order to flush the system, Brian?
Three is the magic number, Carl. Unfortunately, I can spit that out, no problem.
That's a shame.
But you've seen the evolution in that category as well, where we promote kits, where you buy it in a box and it comes with the accumulator, the expansion device, the proper oil, seals, etc. We're essentially forcing the consumer or the technician to do the job properly. And, you know, yeah, we see all those come back. Again, I'll argue that by being a remanufacturer, we're a better manufacturer, right? Because we see what went wrong and the ones that come back to us, just like John was saying earlier, analyzing how the first one went bad. But, you know, in the name of reducing costs, you yourself, you've been a pioneer for many years on improving the professionalism of the auto repair facilities. And this bodes to that as well, doing the job right the first time and doing the research. What's definitely a return? You know, sometimes they got to eat the cost too. Oops, I put this on wrong and I snapped a tab off or I did something like that. You know, sometimes the shop or the technician bears some responsibility in that as well. You know, I can say that I come from 16 years turning wrenches myself, still get out there and do it weekly and understand sometimes you just made a mistake, but to send all that stuff back to the manufacturer and ask for full credit on that, or to guess, as you said earlier, not do the proper diag. You know, there's just a lot where professionalism goes a long ways in this category as well.
We all have oops moments, don't we? In life, anywhere and everywhere, we always have oops moments. But when there's no discipline around oops moments. Oh, don't worry. Try that. Break that. Oh, do this. Oh, you didn't hit the bolt. Oh, boom, 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 boom.
The store and the manufacturer makes the bad man go away and gives you a new part.
Oh, it's an oops pill. I get it. Here's how you fix yourself. Anyway, I was standing at a warehouse one day and a manufacturer came in and wanted to, if you will, lock down this bin of alleged defects, wrap it up and ship it back to wherever you guys would ship these to, a QC center or whatever. Maybe 10 or 12 years ago, that's what hit me so hard, that the manufacturers do legitimately care to know what happened to these quote, quote, alleged warranty, alleged defect parts. That's when I started to hear check the part and started to hear the stats that were coming out of the industry that says, we're a runaway train. We got to fix this.
Yeah, absolutely. And not just using the check the part mentality of opening the part before it's sold to the DIY, to the commercial shop to make sure it's the right part in a box. But the installation shops can also help by, if you have a true warranty return, right? Explaining why right on the box, right? Like I have an example here where they wrote warranty on the box. It would be even better if you would say because and then provide a reason. We'll document that. Those are the things that we want to spend our time focusing on. I have another example here. This is a warranty return that was received, and it says on it, not a dormant part inside. The box is a fluid reservoir. What was actually in the box was this thing.
It's a fluid reservoir.
So I had the research because I was just curious. This actually goes on top of like those big giant water canisters that typically is at a water cooler. Instead of turning it upside down, you put this on the top and you pump it and you get your water that way.
Dorman makes those, don't they?
They make everything else.
I know. You guys copied that from someplace.
Not at all.
Colonel Lester's idea program.
So the problem is the store didn't inspect the part before it was shipped. And the shop received this part expecting to just get the box, put it on the vehicle, get it out the bay. But instead, now you've lost the time because now the runner's got to make a second trip, right? So when the runner does show up to get this part, it's mixed in with all the others, a mixture of cores, a mixture of, hey, I bought a couple extra parts because I wasn't sure if I need to do the entire repair, right? So those were never necessarily even taken out of the box. And it's mixed in with true warranty returns. So one of the things that is actionable at the installer, at the shop level, is to make it clear to the person who's picking up the parts, which is which. Because if they're doing a trip to multiple shops and they get back to the store, they may not remember. The more that you document on the box helps the store to make sure it's the proper credit type. And it helps the manufacturer because when we receive it, we read it all. We document it. Because we want to go after the ones that are actionable. Unfortunately, because of this, what this check the part is showing is that the level of invalid warranty is so high that it becomes a distraction to focus on what truly can drive the contribution margin improvement, right? Get rid of the noise, check the box at sale, check the box at return to prevent examples like this. We've seen flashlights, we've seen bricks, bags of salt. Instead of battery cells, the list goes on and on and on.
And I think to piggyback off what Michael said there as well, I mean, you know, if somebody like a Standard or Dorman or an FTP ships out 20 million units a year, a 10% return is 2 million units. You know, how do you dig through 2 million units to find, you know, the data, you know, where there is really an improvement or a faulty part, et cetera? I think that I would say for the, you know, how can the shops help over communicate? Michael had an example where somebody put a sticker on. If you don't have a sticker, write it on a piece of paper and shove it in the box. Ask your distributor, how do you plan to communicate this back to the manufacturer? You know, I recognize that the shop does not always have a Ryan or Michael or my direct contact email or cell phone, but go to your distributor. How I had an issue with this. I put a note in here or I put a sticker on it. How are you going to communicate that back to the manufacturer? They have ways. They do have ways. And if that's how the shops, I think, can really help. Obviously, the distributors can help by opening the box, making sure it is legitimate. It's not, like you said, a bag of rocks where it should have been a set of brake pads. But the shops can really put some responsibility on their distributors who they're their customers. How do you plan to communicate this back? I found something here. How do you plan to communicate that back to your supplier, to the manufacturer? And that is something that is actionable and not complicated to do.
And we all love hearing that, right?
Yeah.
To your earlier point, how do we get better? How do we fix an issue if and when there is an issue? You know, Carmen and I were just at a show 2 weeks ago already. Hard to believe it's been that long. I love those type of shows. You're interacting with customers, and these were great, well-versed technicians where we probably see a lower warranty number. So when they come up to you and have an intelligent conversation, more so than just saying, your stuff stinks. Well, this one gentleman came up to me and gave me a specific part number, told me exactly the issue it was with it, gave me his information. I've been able to communicate with him to record the data, send me some of those samples back. We exchange, make sure he's made whole on the whole thing. And, you know, my vehicle test center, part of our engineering team, we're installing those on a vehicle just to make sure it's doing what he said it is. And it's very enlightening to us. And so we love those type of conversations. But as you said earlier, sometimes this stuff gets buried in the noise when there's just so much stuff coming back. How do you pick that stuff out of it? And so, you know, help us help you.
Great point. I want to go around the room and give each of you a chance to sum things up. But one of the things that I want to say in my final word is the word partnership. And I can't help but think that if me as a supplier to the service professional, and we talked about a partnership, I want to talk about new returns. I want to talk about warranties. I want to talk about credit assurance. I want to talk about lifting the lid off that box and looking inside of it. I want to have continuing education to help you people get as good as you possibly can in diagnostics and in really knowing what you need to know. We need to talk about partnership. The warranty rates are way off. It's costing you money. It's costing me money. My inventory is bloating. That is the kind of language that I think we need to have and realize that there's oops moments. We know life goes on, but good partners help each other out when it comes to that. That's my final word. I'll go to Michael, John, and Ryan. Michael, final word. What can we hear?
I want to make sure that everyone is aware of the campaign. You can see the details, the numbers that we have referenced in this webcast at www.checkthepart.com. That's one word, check the part. And on there, you'll see the metrics that we've referenced. You'll see a resource section that includes guides, right? So not necessarily QR codes. You see guides for product categories where things to look for when the product is returned. There's a video front and center about what is a proper transaction that demonstrates opening the part. What is it that you're looking for? Also includes a way to document interactions where you found some of these situations. Give us your contact information. Give us the details. How did you come across this? And we want to recognize that with some swag material and as positive reinforcement. We want everyone to kind of look for that Easter egg and post it to say, look what I found. I found a manual pump for a water cooler in an automotive parts box.
Checkthepart.com. We'll make sure that that URL is in the show notes. Thank you very much, Michael. Michael Campagna from Certified Quality Engineer, CQE. Wow, that's a cool little certification from Dorman, Senior Manager Quality Engineering from Dorman. John Garney.
I would just close it to reiterate what you said about a partnership. You know, our entire industry needs to be as efficient and professional as possible. The OE manufacturers continue to, you know, in a perfect world, they'd have every piece of business out there. You know, we need to make sure that our industry is seen as a reliable alternative in a lot of cases to go back to the dealer and to make it as efficient as possible. I think that the shops and the business owners have to understand that a reduced warranty is going to increase their profitability. It's going to increase the customer satisfaction and keep talking about strengthening their brand, their store, their shop brand in their community. When they can make sure that the parts are correct, when they can take costs out of the system, okay, and offer a better deal, a better solution to the customer, it's very important. And a lot of people have this Amazon mentality, as you said, where it just goes into the black hole. We send it back and there's no cost. Those costs show up in the prices of products. And we need to remove those costs. As Michael said, we are double the rate than the next industry, double. You know, it's a $1 billion number, billion with a B. There's a lot of low-hanging fruit that we can do to reduce that. And one of the very, very first and simple ways is check the part, open the box, make sure it is a legitimate return. And what we see is about 70% of them are not. So that would be our closing.
Thank you, John. John Carney, President FDP Brakes. Those stats that I was reading earlier came from that website, your website, checkthepart.com. And the final stat that I did not read, 53% of warranty returns were either brand new or not that manufacturer's product. Parts were from a competitor or an OEM part. To all of your points, that stat is really difficult to accept.
Karn, just to highlight, the more expensive the part, the higher that percentage goes up.
Yeah.
And parts are going up in price, right?
Oh, my God. Yeah, you are so right, Michael. That's a great stat. Thank you. Ryan Coyman, Director of Training, Standard Motor Products.
Well, first off, I want to give credit to the rest of our group. We meet every other Friday, and it's not just the three of us. There's a representative from MPA, you know, Rotating Electrical, Shane with Motorrad. There's other representatives from KDP, you know, just a lot of different manufacturers, Mellotech, Gates, et cetera. So it's not just the three of us here, but it is truly a partnership. And Carm, you know, you can't have partnership without parts. And we're all in the parts business here as much as the people business. And so across all levels of distribution here, from the technician, we can do a better job of giving feedback to the manufacturer. What's really wrong with this thing? To the delivery driver, the counter person, open that box. Make sure it is what it really says it is. To the store manager, double check before it goes to distribution center. The DC manager, again, make sure it's going to the manufacturer of the part, not to the manufacturer of the box. That's a big deal here, and that straightens a lot of stuff out. And then when it comes back to us, we take those claims seriously. We do review them and we look at them and understand, how do we make this better and where did things go wrong? So it's truly an industry partnership from the technician to the manufacturer. You know, and so we go both ways here with this.
Great summary, Ryan. Thank you so much. I hope this was kind of an episode, maybe call it an awareness campaign, something to help our industry realize that we're kind of getting, well, we've been loose for a lot of years, but it hasn't gotten any better. We need to try to make it better. Checkthepart.com. Thank you guys so much for being here. We'd love to hear your comments, Carm at remarkableresults.biz. Or check any one of these people's representatives out in the field and say, I heard Ryan the other day. He was talking about a partnership. Let's do that. Thanks for being here, guys.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carm.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.